This was due to its orbital position at the time. Mars took the main shock in the time of Isaiah. Nergal, Mars, was the war god of the men of Cuth, whom Shalmaneser placed in the cities of Israel in place of the ten tribes. 2 Kings 17:30, and the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima. The two moons of Mars readjusted the unstable condition caused by Lucifer, Moldk and balanced. 182 The resonating electromagnetic field of the planet. Moons are balancers of planets with which they are connected. The people of Moldk, who had been tampering with the force of the terrible wind that has no equal, were warned by members of the Universal Tribunal on Saturn that their doom was certain if they carried out their plans to detonate actual hydrogen. But they would not listen, therefore, the children of Moldk and the innocent were removed to other worlds. The black magicians and scientists of the left-hand path were left on Moldk to greet chaos of their own making. They believed that if by some chance the hydrogen would not do what was expected of it, they would have control of the greatest power in creation. They could then exalt their throne above the stars of God. They would be like the Most High. But since evil destroys evil, the proud Lucifer was brought down to hell, the unseen state. What was to come of the spirits of those who perished in the fall of this world? The allegory of the fall of man and the fire of Prometheus is also another version of the myth of the rebellion of the proud Lucifer, hurled down to the bottomless pit, Orcus. In the religion of the Brahmins, Maha, Zura, the Hindu Lucifer, becomes envious of the Creator's resplendent light, and at the head of a legion of inferior spirits rebels against Brahma, and declares war against him. Shiva, the third person of the Hindu Trinity, hurls them all from the celestial abode into Hondra, the region of eternal darkness. But here the fallen angels are made to repent of their evil deed, and in the Hindu doctrine they are all afforded the opportunity to progress. Therefore, the souls of those responsible for the fate of Lucifer, Moldk, were sent to some far-off world or worlds in interstellar space, a region of eternal darkness. Through countless lives they will be made aware of the enormity of their crime to their fellow man. And they will be able to progress once more up the worlds. They will eventually find the great path. All are on the road to all perfection, none are lost. That last day of days on Moldk must have been one of unbelievable madness and terror. The sacred white light known as Ishtal, Maxon, went out in their temple of temples. The sky was dark, ominous, foreboding, even the stars refused to shed their light. In the book of Job we find reference to the wicked, and this may be a description of Lucifer. Job 18:4-21, he teareth himself, his soul, in his anger, shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, nevertheless, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle, lamp, shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid, hidden, for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him, scatter him, to his feet. His strength shall be hunger, bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength, bars, of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven, they shall drive him, from light into darkness, and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before, lived with him, were affrighted, laid hold on horror. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. If this excerpt from the book of Job is read substituting Lucifer for wicked, a startling similarity is at once noted between the description of wicked and the last days of Lucifer. The light of the wicked, Lucifer, shall be put out. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, destruction shall be ready at his side. Then it says, it shall bring him to the king of terrors. What is the king of terrors but the wind that has no equal, hydrogen devastation? His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and indeed it has. Knowledge of the destruction of Lucifer has been a closely guarded secret of the mystery schools for centuries. They that come after him shall be astonished, dazed or dismayed, at his day, as they that lived with him laid hold on horror. Such are the dwellings of Lucifer, and this the place of him that knoweth not God. Space intelligences say, you can never use your great atomic power for peace or peaceful pursuits, because the very nature of atomic power is destruction, not construction. How can you attain peace by that which is itself essentially unpeaceful? We do not split atoms, for that destroys the flow of force through them. Instead, we use that flow of forces. Your people say that peace is for the strong, but this is not true. You will never attain your long, sought for world peace through armed might or military strength. You can't force other men to your will in order to assure peace at any cost. What kind of a peace is it that is attained by pointing a gun in another man's back? Therefore, can you make certain undeveloped souls desire peace? No, a thousand times no. They must progress to the place where they realize that death and destruction through war is senseless. They must actually learn to want peace. 186. Do you know that you destroy untold, little worlds when you perform your so-called atom-splitting process? All is the same in the omniverse, from microcosm to macrocosm. Why is it that man of earth has heard yet understands not? Peace is not for the strong, for it has been truly written that the meek shall inherit the earth. And you will never use atomic power for peace in your golden age now dawning. The earth is now on the same path that Lucifer, Moldk, took. Atomic power on that planet ended in destruction to end all destruction. But it will not happen on the earth. Our brothers in outer space will not allow the earth to end as Moldk did. There will be catastrophes, yes, but greet them with a prayer on your lips and joy in your heart, for it is a sign unto you that your deliverance is nigh. Moldk was the silver-tongued, or simply, the tongue. Before the planet was eliminated from the family of our solar system, there were altogether 13 planets. Perhaps in the end of Moldk we have the origin of the unlucky number 13. Since there are two planets between Mercury and the Sun and one yet beyond Pluto, Moldk was in the seventh orbit. This is a very significant fact, not only because of the symbolic meaning of the numeral 7, but because of the fact that the tongue is situated in the middle or center of the head and face. Since Moldk was number 7 among the planets, it was situated in the center of the solar family, with 6 other worlds on each side. There has been great meaning attached to the numbers 7, 12 and 13 for generations. Christ had 12 apostles, and eventually there were 13. Saint Matthias or Street Paul can be the 13th, one of the 13. Judas destroyed himself. Originally, there were 13 planets with a sun, Christ, and one, Lucifer, Moldk, destroyed itself. Street Matthias shouldn't be considered the 13th because he took Judas' place in the original 12. Saint Paul is therefore really the 13th through his astounding conversion. Jeremiah 9:3, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Lucifer, Moldk may be gone forever, but tongues like bows still bend for lies. The spirit of Lucifer lives on. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. From all space, we cry for thee, Moldk, Moldk, thy fate is sealed in eternity, thou art lost to us forever. Ishtal, Maxin, Aramah, Maru, Moldk, 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 Ishtai. It is finished, O Father of us all. So, we come to the end of the section called Other Tongues. Much research and work is still needed before the information that was presented here will be anywhere near complete. Tape recordings of the Solex Mal were played for Japanese and Oriental students at two different universities. They unanimously agreed that there were some words that were identical with their own language, but that the strange sing-song language most nearly resembled Ainu. The Ainu are perhaps the strangest people on Earth. They are an indigenous race of Japan having light, colored skin and features of a European cast. Ainu could very well be the Earth language closest to the Solar Tongue, the mother of all languages. In 1900, a book was published that demands serious attention. It is called, From India to the Planet Mars, A Study of a Case of Somnambulism, by T.H. Flouarani, professor of psychology at the University of Geneva. Many remarks on the Martian language are to be found, and there is a plate showing the Martian alphabet. The Martian characters are similar to those of the Solex Mal. Previously, the theory was held that Lucifer collided with another celestial body, or that Lucifer was in reality two separate planets, and these collided. However, new discoveries show that Lucifer and its single satellite Lilith were destroyed by a thermal catastrophe, and what would hydrogen destruction be but thermal? Much research needs to be done along these lines, also, but the following is quoted from the Astronomical Validation of the Correlation Between Electromagnetism and Gravitation, a progress report of the Educational Research Laboratories, Valley of the Pines, Montague, Michigan. It is generally considered that since there is no accepted reason to believe otherwise, all the asteroids came from a single parent body that was less than the Earth in mass and size. From this view, the problem of origin becomes a problem of the means of disruption. The several possible modes of disruption resolve themselves into two main types: the one of a catastrophic nature, which might have produced jagged fragments and splinters of irregular shape such as it is presumed some of the asteroids possess; the second of a thermal, radioactive or stellar nature, which might have produced molten or gaseous fragments that would eventually solidify into nearly spherical shapes. The density of the asteroids is not known, but the EMG formulae indicate that it ranges from 2.5 to 3.5. They could be mountainous rocks, but are they the jagged fragments of a cold collision, or the cooled, originally molten and now nearly spherical fragments of a thermal catastrophe? The implications of the EMG formula favor the latter assumption, by suggesting a satisfactory solution to the problem of the variable asteroids. The problem of the asteroids is nothing new. It all started when Dr. Olbers suggested that the four planetoids known in his time had been formed by the explosion of a single planet. Soon, scientists began to disagree with this conclusion. The main reason why may have been that this hypothesis brought on the inevitable counter question of what had caused the original planet to explode. And that question would have been very hard to answer. H. J. Jeffries and Professor K. Hirayama agree with the explosion theory. Today, more than 1,000 planetoids are known compared to Abela's 4, and scientists say the estimated total mass of Lucifer is anything but impressive. They say if they gathered all the fragments together, they would make a planet far smaller than our moon. Dr. H. Nininger has shown, by his research on the great meteor crater near Winslow, Arizona, that much of the original meteor that hit that area was vaporized and turned into fine cosmic dust on impact. This is what happened to Lucifer also. Therefore, not even half of Moltke can be accounted for by asteroid observation. Much will be learned in the new age about other tongues. Through the Solar Tongue, the tracks on the desert, and through Moltke, the tongue itself, we have glimpsed other worlds. Book 3, Other Flesh. Chapter 1. The Migrants. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1-1, 2. In the beginning, the earth was a comet. After it had gathered enough cosmic debris, it became a planet, a new world. For untold ages this satellite of the Sun was a molten mass of fire. Meteorites from outer space bombarded the whirling sphere, great clouds arose. Finally, the great blanket of clouds condensed and it rained incessantly. The cooling off process had begun. Life first appeared on Earth when it was still boiling and seething with chemical turbulence in the air and in the hot seas. Sometime during this period a synthesis occurred, and there was the first movement of life in some unknown spot of the Earth's vast seas. A microscopic glob of transparent jelly, flagellate. These multiplied and spread through the seas, where evolution was to start and eventually produce the indigenous life forms of the planet Earth. New types of half-plant, half-animal creatures began to inhabit the waters of the Earth. Hard parts, protective shells, plates and skins appeared and the continuous fossil record began. The Earth planet, now cooled and teeming with mineral, vegetable, and animal life, was ready at last to receive human life. On another planetary system, spiritual life migrated through interstellar space and began to struggle independently with the problems of Earth planet environment. At that moment the Word was made flesh and man in his present form, was. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6:1-7. So we come to the place where man appears on the planet Earth. The human race in its present pattern has been upon this planet anywhere between 17 million and 10 million years. For centuries scientists have pondered the question, how did life in the human form make its advent upon Earth? The famous missing link between the anthropoid apes and man will never be found because the link is a spiritual and not an organic link. A great migration of souls known as the Sons of God arrived on Earth when the evolution of its indigenous life was progressing and incarnated in certain animal forms. This caused a basic difference between the human and other mammal forms. The primate species went on living and breeding as a true species, giving us the monkeys, apes, and gorillas of today. But the ape forms that were borrowed for incarnation by the spirit, souls arriving from outer space, apparently supplied the original expressions of the human. These forms continued to breed and develop, and gradually sublimated the ape forms into the races of man as society now recognizes them. The scientist of today can be an atheist or a devout man, for he can fit the evolutionary theory into his own concepts nicely. He can either believe that God brought certain chemical substances together when the first single, cell life appeared in our warm seas, or he can believe that the happening was purely accidental. Evolution is a fact, but does not, however, as so many assume, teach that man is descended from an ape or monkey. Modern evolutionists teach only that man and the apes had a common ancestor of whose characteristics they know little, and who may have approached in structure and appearance the modern man more than the modern ape. Neither does evolution pretend to explain the origin of life, or to prove that the development of man has been entirely mechanical or accidental. Evolution is simply a theory that every known plant or animal, whether living or extinct, developed out of a previous form. This theory is now accepted universally by all scientists in every country of the world, and only the reasons for, and the methods of transmission of the successive modifications are questioned. Science has proven by the Earth's record, written undisputedly in her rock formations, that the evolution of indigenous Earth life is a true fact. Fossil-bearing formations literally tell the Earth's autobiography. This indigenous Earth life developed from the single-celled organisms into a highly evolved ape form over millions of years. The sons of God made wives of the ape creatures, and the progeny was antediluvian man, or prehistoric, primitive man. The physical attributes belong to the anthropoid apes, and the spiritual attributes belong to the migration which came from the planets of the star, Sun Sirius. Science is only wrong when it takes certain fossil remains and tries to fit them into the category of the missing link. As said before, this link is a spiritual link, not an organic link. The migrants arrived on Earth during the middle division of the Tertiary period. This is known as the Miocene epoch. In the strata of this epoch are found eoliths or dawn stones, flints. They are roughly shaped, and some authorities claim they were fashioned by primitive human beings. Others say that the Miocene flints are of natural origin. The dawn stones were undoubtedly used by the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. The migrants made the Earth planet their abode in order to gain experience on the physical plane. The Sirian planets centralized thought incarnate, so to speak, and man was sent to Earth, a prisoner of pain for education. Man's heart was heavenly and divine creation, his body was physically handicapped by weight, but he acquired proficiency in altering his body. Man could create by thought, and he created monsters and abominations. Man, therefore, came from races of angels mixed with beasts, and he is now engaged in separating the brute from the angel. He has a mission on Earth, for he is this planet's keeper and essentially has lessons in flesh to learn. Man must know pain, suffering, and sorrow so he can become a fit subject for higher planes. Man finally put thought into practice, and created abominations. When he first arrived on Earth, he had no body as we think of a body, so he looked upon beast and bird and chose the physical vehicle most likely to give him attributes producing qualities of spirit. The various cat forms were attractive to the migrants, but the ape form was the form most suitable for their Earth environment and experience. 198 The ape form gave them a more flexible and better controlled hand with the all-important opposable thumb. Without the thumb, man couldn't have produced a civilization. The cat form was discarded. In Starguests, the Elder Brother tells us, mankind was not always as ye see him walking the earth at present. Mankind was possessed of physical features making him hideous unto God. Mankind had queer members, too potent of evil to be long tolerated. Mankind had features of a beast. He was of eagle, head and lion body. Great was his brutishness. This reminds us of the griffin, a mythical creature, half animal, lion, and half bird, eagle. It was used to represent the two natures in Christ, divine and human. But its earlier meaning symbolized the period of the great abomination, when man was literally half eagle and half lion. There are countless references in mythology and history to this abomination period, and some of these will be mentioned later. The Elder Brother continues, from the evil which he did when he had come to Earth and found Earth forms upon it, was man cleansed by fire and flood. He came through vast ordeals which shaped his physiognomy as ye do see it now. He had strange claws and stranger tissues. He was of the brute and yet not of it. From the depths of degradation to which he had sunk, he arose with skull of ape. He walked upright on two legs. He became the prey of beasts instead of hunter. He made for himself habitations in trees and prowled by night seeking food. Deep, deep was his ignorance. Little more than beast was he indeed, with almost no spark of divinity left to him. The abomination was so vast that forms were fusing together into monsters having no purpose but self-destruction. Men and animals were growing interchangeable of spirit and structure. Man was beastly and beast was manlike. Spirit knew not itself, whether it were divine or whether it were experiment of thought incarnate. They had so interchanged that they could no longer be accepted by the host on the Sirian planets as divine. All physical forms had to be cleansed. Pure beast must be preserved as beast, pure angel, man must be preserved as angel, man. Therefore, a vast catastrophe was decided upon. Ice from polar seas was melted and released upon continents of monsters. The elder brother tells us, no longer could life make physical vehicles by thought. Forms existing in purity were preserved. Monsters and anomalies were destroyed. No longer could they propagate. Pure species were saved and pronounced sterile unto all but themselves. By being pronounced sterile unto all but themselves means, of course, that they could only breed their own species and kind. That is why today man can only mate with other human beings. No longer can the half, man and half, animal creatures be produced. The only reference to them today is in ancient legends. 200 The griffin has already been mentioned. It was the Grypes or Gryphus of Greek mythology. A monster with the head and wings of an eagle, the body of a lion, and sometimes the tail of a serpent. The most familiar and least complicated of the composite beings known as bird, man creatures are the medieval angels and demons, the fairies, the Greek gears, represented as tiny human figures with butterfly wings. Many representations of Egyptian gods embody combinations of human and bird anatomy, for they say the gods were first birds and animals and only gradually evolved into men. Perhaps the most complicated and fearsome of these creatures is the Gorgon, which had serpent hair, the hideous face of a woman, the wings of a bird, and the body of a lioness with bronze claws. The most frightful of these was Medusa. The important feature of the Hindu Garuda bird is that it is one of the few combinations with the head of a bird. Other features vary considerably with locale. It is known in India, Indochina, China, Japan, and many other places. The Egyptian soul was sometimes depicted as a bird with a human head, as was also the Greek harpy, which befouled everything it touched. The sirens were similar in form, but had beautiful voices and lured men to their downfall. The Welsh washer of the ford is a spectral female in black with the wings of a bat. The Furies are another of these combinations. 201 The Sphinx is a combination of man, bird, beast, that is, the head and chest of a man, wings of a bird, and the body of an animal. In Egypt, sphinxes were always male, and had the body of a lion. The Greek female sphinx also had a lioness body. The Babylonian Shedu, the Hebrew Shedim, and the Sumerian Clad were similar to the Egyptian, and male. They had the bodies of bulls, neatly curled beards, and often wore hats. The female counter, part of the Shedu, was called Lamana or Lamasu and could fly. The Syrian female sphinx had wings and resembled the Egyptian. The sacred bull, men of Babylonia are extraordinary beings. They were first seen only on rock drawings, and small seals, but later they were used for imposing statuary like the winged bull with a human face from Sargon's palace in Khorsabad. The so-called dragon of Babylon was found on the walls of the Ishtar Gate. It was called the mighty snake. It had the head and scales of a snake, but the body of an unidentified monster. This creature had lion's paws and eagle's claws. The centaurs in Greek mythology were a race of monsters, half man and half horse. The Greeks also had legends of cercops, a race of ape-like but human pygmies. The ancient Arcadian Pan was a goat from the waist down, and a man with goat ears and goat horns from the waist up. References to the strange bird cult of Easter Island are numerous in the native art. A remarkable example is the following representation of the bird. Man holding an egg in his hand. The original was carved upon a block of stone, itself egg-shaped. The egg in the birdman's hand symbolizes the creative power of thought once enjoyed by man, but since the great catastrophe, man no longer can create by thought alone. Those who perished physically in this catastrophe were not dead spiritually, but they sloughed off their monstrous features and were known en masse for spirits again, but without physical equipment. An entire book or books could be written on the subject of man, bird, beast creatures. The migrants or sons of God arriving from the Syrian planets mated with the daughters of men who were the indigenous bestial female Earth forms that were coming to high evolutionary development on this planet.